Check. Is it working? There we go. All right. Who here has never failed, never lied or committed any sin? None of us. Every one of us has fallen down at some point. Somewhere, somehow, your righteousness came up on the short end. This is why Jesus came to die for our sins, because we aren't perfect, but he is. However, even though we encounter many failures in our lives, we can learn from them and become better Christians in the process. This morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Peter. Peter experienced many failures throughout his life, and partly because of his impulsive nature, he consistently failed. But in turn, he also consistently got back up. The one thing that stayed the same with Peter was that he didn't allow his failures to destroy or change his belief in God. Like Peter, we should strive to learn from our failures and thrive off of learning from them, instead of shutting them away or refusing to think about them. Luke 5:4-8. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." I find that like Peter at the beginning of his journey, many of us refuse to believe that we can change the world. We tell ourselves, someone else will follow the Great Commission. Someone else will feed the hungry, care for the sick. I can't do it. I'm too sinful. God can't use someone like me. These are all lies from the enemy. No matter how many times you've fallen or sinned, God can still use you. God still wants you. Throughout the Bible, God has used prostitutes, tax collectors, the man from the lowest family of the lowest clan, and some of the people in the bottom parts of society to accomplish his missions. Surely he can use people like you and I. Matthew 14:25-33. Shortly after, before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a story that most of us have probably heard since we were little kids. Peter failed because he took his eyes off of Jesus. I've always wondered, how could Peter fail when the answer was right in front of him? But it's then that I'm reminded of how many times I've taken my eyes off of the Lord. How many times have I taken my eyes off of Jesus and put them on the television instead? How many times has God asked me to answer his call, but instead I laid on the couch? Comfort isn't a bad thing, but sometimes we get too comfortable in our routines and our entertainments, and we leave Jesus out of the picture without intending to in the process. Matthew 16:21-23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter was so concerned about Jesus' physical well-being that he forgot the reason why Jesus came. Throughout the Bible, God has always required sacrifice for sins, and Jesus was the final sacrifice, the atonement for the sins of mankind. But Peter couldn't understand it at that moment in time. All Peter knew was that his Savior was talking about being persecuted and slain, and he wanted to prevent that, despite knowing it was a part of God's plan. Matthew 26:30-35. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. We see here again that Peter refuses to believe Jesus' prophecy. Despite the Son of God telling Peter what's going to happen, he repeatedly affirms that he will never abandon Jesus, even if all the other disciples do. Again, Peter believes in his wisdom above God's, and it will make his denial all the more difficult, because the more we rely on our pride, the harder we fall in the end. Matthew 26, 38 through 44. Then Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Peter failed at his duty to keep watch for Jesus. All Jesus wanted him to do was keep watch for even just an hour during his prayer to the Father. However, Peter was too tired, and he fell prey to the temptation of sleeping on duty. This chapter makes me think about how much we as Christians sleep on duty. Jesus has asked us as Christians to essentially keep watch on the entire world, to make disciples of all nations and spread the good news of Jesus wherever we can and whenever we can. I feel that sometimes I forget my mission as a Christian and fall asleep on duty. I'm not just here to serve myself. I'm here to serve my God. It doesn't mean I have to travel to Africa on a mission trip or deliver the best sermon in the history of Eastern Polk County. It just means that I need to be a Christian wherever I go, to spread Jesus' influence everywhere I am by emulating him as close as I possibly can. Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Here we see it all come to a head. After all the promises and oaths, Peter came up short. He disowned his Savior in fear and denied him 3 times. No matter how wise or strong Peter thought he was, it turned out that Jesus was right. The disciples scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Of all those scattered, Peter was the one who wept bitterly. He had such a hard fall after thinking so much about himself. However, the beautiful thing about Peter's story is that it doesn't end there. Zach will talk more about that.
Is this on? All right. Before I begin, I just want to say a few words about CIY. First of all, I just want to thank you all for giving us that opportunity to go, because it was really an awesome time. I mean, I loved taking off a week of work and going to worship God, and it was awesome. It was totally worth it, and I want to thank you all for giving us that opportunity. And also, the night that they were asking us to make the decisions, you all came into my head when I was making that decision, because not only did God call me to this, but you guys gave me a chance. A couple years ago when I wanted to preach, you guys gave me a chance to come up here and just talk. And you guys just really blessed me through that, so I just want to thank you all for that. Alrighty, let's begin this. Now that you've heard about how to not let God, now that you've heard not about how to let your pride make you think that you're better than God, it's time to talk about when that happens, when we fail. When we do, Satan uses that to make us feel that since we failed, that's it for us. God can't use us. God can never use a person like me. I have too much baggage. I have too much sin in my life for God to use me. And it usually happens a lot. Today, the main example is going to be Peter, as you heard with Sam. Now, Peter did fail. And when he denied Jesus three times in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, it says, "At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind, 'Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even knew me.'" And then verse 62 ends with, "And then Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly." Peter was so distraught over what had happened that he couldn't be anywhere near Jesus, a man who Peter had followed and also very much cared about. Whenever we fail, Jesus looks at us. And most times we can't look him in the face, so we do the things that we can do. We flee. We go back to our old lives, our old ways, going back into our old lives of sin, thinking, "How could God use me? I failed him." Peter did this. He went back to his old life thinking he would never see Jesus again. So when Peter was told that the tomb was empty, he ran. Literally, this guy ran to the tomb to find that it was empty. And ending of that verse says that he went home again wondering what had happened. We're now going to head to the book of John, chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing at the shore. But the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "Well, no," they replied. Then he said, "And throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll catch some." So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. I just love this next part. Verse 7 says, "Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and jumped into the water and headed for shore." I mean, can you imagine how happy Peter was to see Jesus? I mean, if it were me, I'd be overly excited to get a chance to ask Jesus for forgiveness, because I bet when Peter left the courtyard that day, he never thought he'd get that chance. You see, when you fail, Jesus doesn't just leave and forget about you. He loves you so much that when you go back to the comfortable ways of sin, he finds you and comes to you. Sometimes the same way he did the first time, like in the story with Peter. We're going to pick up in verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. The next part sums up what Jesus is trying to tell Peter at this moment. It's only just two words: follow me. Jesus tells us all to follow him. And if we want life, if we want the freedom from sin and death, we have to follow him. In a part of a life living for Christ, there is going to be failure. We all fail. While we were at CIY, we learned a lot about failure. And I love the main point in the sermon. It was when you fail in your walk with Christ, are you just going to go back to your old life? I mean, it was pretty easy for me whenever I would do that. or are you going to power through the bad times, even though it is going to be hard? This new life that Christ is given you or will give you, nothing compares to it. Satan will try to make you think differently about it, that Jesus can't work through you because of what's happened in your past. But all you have to do is take one step, and God will take the other ones for you. Another thing Satan will use is fear and struggles to keep you from moving in your relationship with God. He will try to use things from your past. He will use present situations and also failures to make you fear the future. But accept the fact that you're going to fail. Now, I'm not saying stop trying not to fail. But when you do fail, that you can know that God is with you to guide you through it. Sam's message ended with Peter failing big time. And he did so around a campfire. He denied Jesus 3 times, and the 3rd denial was at a fire. It's interesting that Jesus, after Peter denied him 3 times, gave Peter 3 times to say he loved Jesus, and he also did this around a fire. So my question is, will you camp out around the first campfire, or will you get up and make it to the 2nd fire where Jesus is waiting to restore you? One thing I've learned in these past few years is that you're never truly alone. God is always with you, but he also brings people into your life to help you. So as I conclude today, I'd like to end with this. When you fail, are you going to give up, or are you going to keep going with God as your guide and protector? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, that we could all be here, that we could have the freedom, God, to be here. I just want to pray for everyone, God. We all have stuff that we need prayer. I just pray that if you can't heal the situation, or it's not the purpose for them to heal, God, that you would just be with them in that time. Just comfort, be their guide and strength. I want to pray for everyone's week, God, that they can just leave this place and just remember this Sunday, God, and just remember all the other Sundays, and just remember that no matter where you are, you can always share your son's name. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.